Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast Day is March 3 or 4? 3.
And by the time this is out, happy birthday, Mommy. Her birthday's on Friday.
Her birthday who?
Mom's birthday's on Friday.
Oh, happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Miss Norma.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom. Smooth 27 years old.
Or like... She really doesn't know how old she is. I'm always the one who has to tell her.
I keep telling you, time is a man-made construct.
Well, you would know. What are you pushing?
She agrees with that.
Exactly.
That's all Jeff and Mom might be the same age. Fuck around.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we just threw it together. I was right here behind her. Shit. I'll be telling y'all, like, back in the day, nobody had a watch? Wasn't there time?
Yes, they did.
In the 1700s, they had watches.
They made clothes with a pocket or the pocket watch.
In the 1700s, they had watches?
Well, back then, they didn't have them because they only lived to like 33. How much time did they really
As time went on, it became a man-made construct.
I think I'm going to Google when the watch was invented, just because I need to win this.
In the 1500s or whatever, when Jesus was walking the earth, they had no Rolex. You had to put the trust in the Lord to tell you what time it is. Now you youngins.
Before they used the sun.
They know time by the sun in the sky, Jeffrey.
Exactly. Now y'all youngins want to have a big old watch on and be fancy with it. But the Lord ain't had no watch.
I'll tell you about playing with Jesus on this podcast.
I'm not playing with Jesus. He ain't had no watch. We ain't never seen a picture of Jesus with no AP on.
Because he was on Cairo's time. He was on God's time.
I'll have you know, pocket watches were invented in 1504.
Okay, but what about before that? What were they doing?
Is that how old you are?
Telling time by the sky.
In 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue,
he had no watch. The sky and the moon and the fucking...
But what I'm saying, it wasn't like, oh, it's 2:30.
Yes, it was. Like, by the time the cock crows...
It's going to be dark.
By the time the sun is over here,
we have this much time left, but it wouldn't be like, oh, it's 3:33. We're going to have a meeting today in 1400 at 6:15. Y'all get on the Zoom.
That has nothing to do with the number of years you've been on this planet, by the way. None of that.
like my man, the purple one, said, my time is a man-made construct. And if you don't put your mind in that construct, time won't affect you the
anyway,
same.
Anyway, happy birthday.
We're going to move on. Happy birthday. Nye, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I missed you guys.
Yeah, Sean is running around DC with his lovely better half. So he's gonna try to pop on when he can, if he can, you know. And if he can't, you know, we get it. It's all good. We keep it moving. You know, till next week. I got a shout out to me. I ain't even tell y'all. So I started doing this vegan thing. I'm vegan now.
God damn.
You told everyone, actually.
You are an Instagram fucking honey. I swear to God.
I'm a vegan.
Like, how's it going?
It's going well, actually.
How long has it been?
This is like almost a week, like when I went full. Because, you know, I told you I did the detox.
Yes.
But with the detox, yes. I had to stop eating dairy and stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. So now I told you I went vegetarian, and I never went back to dairy. I never started eating cheese on that shit. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go on and cross over. There's a spot near me called, I don't know if you heard it or not, called Pick and Eat. Have you heard of Pick and Eat?
Mm-mm.
It's a vegan spot on 177th Street, very popular in the neighborhood. So I went there one day after the gym and I got some like vegan, you know, chicken or whatever it was. And it was good. I was like, oh, I mean, it ain't Popeyes. You know, don't get it fucked up. Well, you know, say, or whatever Inca's eating right now. It ain't that. But but it was like good enough to like, oh, okay, I think I could. The only issue is it's very hard. You know, if you buy it, it's expensive.
Right.
And cooking it is, you know, it's different.
It's annoying.
It's annoying.
You can't do anything quick vegan. No. That's gonna give you everything you need, right?
Unless, like, you buy it.
You gotta
join TikTok. I say this on every show.
They got vegan TikTok.
Has a vegan community that's gonna tell you how to turn flour and water into chicken.
But you know what? I don't like fish. Part of the reason I can't. I could do pescatarian. I think.
Same.
Because I do sometimes. I only really crave red meat occasionally, and usually it probably means that my iron is low. Really, when I think about it. I mostly eat chicken and fish, and I mostly eat seafood, but it's the dairy for me. Cheese, butter.
Everybody loves cheese and butter.
Oh my God. Cheese and
butter. Actually, I'm the last person still drinking milk, so.
No.
That's an issue for me. And I don't do milk often because I don't drink coffee, but I do 10%. I still do cow's milk. I do 2% milk, but I don't drink
coffee. I had stopped doing all that a while ago, so my issue wasn't that. I mean, honestly, right now, I haven't had. And maybe it's because I did that detox. I haven't really had any cravings. I'm not like, I miss like a pizza. Like, I'm cool. But right now, like, we'll see. I'm early in the process. And as usual, I don't know how long I'm going to do this.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to go a month. I'm going to go off a year. I don't know. But as of now, it's cool because I definitely feel like you don't feel like bloated, like from the food. Right. You don't feel like heavy from the food. The only issue I have, actually, which I guess is a good issue, is like in the morning, I'm starving. Because, you know, you burn through the food because it's so light. You burn through it quickly. So, like, in the morning, I'm like, woo!
But well, that's also how, you got to be careful, because that's also how newly vegan people end up picking up weight. Because they end up eating
so much. Yeah,
But also, just eating for convenience, because you're not used to cooking that way.
Yeah.
And because when I would do Whole30, you've never done Whole30, have you?
Mm-hmm. And I thought about it.
Surprising, because you do everything else.
Yeah, Whole30
is actually pretty easy. But Whole30, I'm able to substitute butter for ghee, which is basically butter with the actual, I guess, the dairy part. It's a clarified butter.
Clarified butter.
So it's not technically dairy. And it actually works really well. And it cooks actually better than butter. To a certain extent, but I don't like, with the exception of a pasta, I don't like red based sauce. I don't like tomato.
You don't like marinara.
I'm not a big legumes person. I'm not a big beans person, right? So with those things, and I hate tofu. So like, and I hate the texture of mushrooms. So like with those things.
Oh my God.
I can't. Ain't no faking nothing. Yeah. I don't love.
I definitely don't love tofu, but I've always loved the mushroom.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'm trying to do like the mushroom steaks and mushroom burger. I don't like the texture of them. It's like good. Right.
Wish me well. I'm on this journey here.
What's the goal here? Is this
a health and
you he's know, trying to live forever. That's what it is.
Time is a man-made construct, and I am going to test the boundaries of that.
Okay.
And like you said, I'm trying to live forever. I'm trying to be in the club when I'm 85.
I fully believe this.
Like the god Quincy Jones. He in the club. Now he's not dancing, but he'll be in the corner chilling.
Quincy is 100% in the club at 85.
85. And you're
talking reckless like Quincy. Too.
Reckless. Hey, Quincy, what you think about Diana Ross? Man, fuck Diana Ross. You'd be like, oh shit,
bro.
No, he'll say shit like that.
Yeah, no,
he don't have no filter. He'll say that.
Jeff's gonna be acting a fool at everybody's funeral.
Everybody
hollering funeral, over everybody, my casket.
Everybody fune. Ain't the gold? Damn, ain't the gold?
Jeff's gonna be like, that nigga owed me $300 from the deal we did this one time.
Like Earl Swartz. You ever see that clip? He was, I guess. So,
oh yeah, well, Earl, where's my DVD?
Smacking a nigga in the casket.
That shit is so funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So so we're gonna get on and get in here.
I have a quick shout.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure, because you've been away. So what's the shout out?
I've been away. So first of all, a bunch of listeners hit me up to check on me, which I appreciate, because I've just been kind of low in general. And mm-hmm.
Are you out of jail yet?
No, I'm not out of jail yet.
Damn.
And I'm trying.
The man got you down.
I'm hoping I can get Naima back by Friday, because Coming to America comes out this week. Oh wait, Sean's coming. Hold on.
Yeah, she is popping on. Is it Friday night?
Friday, yeah. So Coming to America comes out on Friday. And even though, hey, Sean.
Hey.
Even though my burner account isn't small, I got 10,000 followers on my burner account.
It ain't the same as the other one.
It's like going from the club to the lounge, which is fine sometimes. But I hope to get back on Naima by this week. And there's a couple people on the Twitter side who are helping me. But just for those who don't know, anytime I'm suspended, because this isn't even the third or fourth, I think this might be the fifth time I've been suspended. Anytime I'm suspended, it's because of copyright takedowns. And the challenge is that they can get you for anything you've ever posted. So I haven't even done a music sermon in a year.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't think I've done a music sermon in a year. Almost a year. I was doing some at the beginning of a shutdown before I got really busy. But like they hit everything I got hit for that got me suspended this time was over a year old. So that's the challenge. But that said, there is an appeals process. It's just lengthy. And Twitter has changed some of the legal language that they ask you to put in your counter. So like it took a week for them to tell me it was missing some language. I sent it back. And I haven't really been pressed about it at all because like I've been kind of chilling, but I say I like to say quite a few listeners like hit me like, you know, saw you were missing from the pod. Everything.
Our listeners care about us.
Yeah, so I thank y'all for that. For those who want to know, so I shared with y'all over the summer. I mean, we've all been going through pandemic shit, and over the summer I had shared with y'all that it came a point where like I felt really stressed out or whatever. And this time it wasn't stress. I have an insane sleeping schedule as it is. And I work for myself and I work from home, which increases the insane sleeping schedule. And
you don't go outside enough, son. That's I'm not saying that's the only issue, but that is an issue. You don't go out the house enough.
But also, Jeff, there's a new strain of COVID that started in Washington Heights. This is why I don't go outside.
Just take a walk around the block. I say you gotta go to
I go to the store and stuff, but anyway, the weather is warming up. I'll go outside
more. Yeah, the weather's getting
being in the house, being in the same environment all the time, like I was suffering from crazy insomnia to the point where I just really felt like I couldn't, like I was feeling like I was going a little bit crazy, to be honest. I was tired. And so I just had to step away from everything. I had to hit a couple of editors and be like, I know you waiting on an assignment for me. You're not going to get it. Because I was just like staring at the computer screen.
Nah, baby. Not going to be able to do.
I had to reassign it. I had to cancel some stuff. And I was just like, I'm going to check into a hotel for a week. And
that's cool.
And it really helped. It helped to...
Go and get your room service on. Get your spa and your lounge on.
I didn't do that because we're still in the panoramic.
You're still in the Panda Express,
but I had like a kitchen. I had a good sized room with a kitchenette. You know, went grocery shopping and did my thing, and I really just it was like vegging out with permission. And I realized though that what I miss about traveling is that not only did traveling for work give me an opportunity to be in another space that wasn't my house for a little while. It also gave me an opportunity to miss my house and be like, oh, I can't wait
to get home.
And in my bed.
Yeah.
I've been home in my bed all this time. It's like, fuck this house. Yeah, I love my house, but fuck this house. Bed. Like, fuck for real. Fuck this bed.
Fuck this comforter. Fuck these motherfucking rolls.
Fuck this one thing. I keep stuff in my
end table.
Yeah, fuck all this coffee table. I be wanting to throw all this shit out the window.
I definitely threw away my coffee table a couple days ago.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I had to. Just over everything.
Okay, well,
sure. Yeah, like I went through the redecorating part already, and now I'm sick of all this shit again. So, yeah, I just had to get out. And I get my first shot tomorrow. So I'm on the path to vaccination.
Good.
Awesome. I got my second shot today.
Is your arm sore? Because they say it make your arm sore.
It's very sore. The second shot is like, what the fuck did I just do?
The first shot, I
didn't feel, but I got a little, like, tiny bit of runny nose starting to happen. But other than that, I'm totally fine.
I have a numbing cream. I'm going to be putting that on my arm tomorrow before I go get my shot.
Just take 2 ibuprofen. You'll be fine.
This section of old nigga news has been brought to you in part by
For me, it's totally psychosomatic. I can take the pain. I just hate the anticipation of the pain. That's where I freak out. So just the thought that I have done something to lessen it will help me not be so scary.
Yeah. Welcome back.
It's to Virgil, your man.
Virgil Abloh?
Yes. The one thing I did do last week was me and friend to the show and friend to the 3 of us, and I'm going to say she's your friend too, Inca, because you one of us, Bevy Smith, both were part of a panel with Virgil for LVMH Corporate. Ooh. To talk about Black culture and how Black people have impacted fashion, culture, et cetera. And it was, it wasn't a here's what we need to do for diversity talk. Like, they set it up really well. Their new DIE woman is dope. And I've known her since before she got there, which is why she had.
Wait, what is DIE? Is that
Diversity and Inclusion.
Okay. And the other one.
I'll tell you what the other one is.
Yeah, it'll come to you.
D&I. It's diversity, diversity, inclusion, but there is an E in there somewhere. Okay. But anyway, equity, maybe? I don't know. Anyway,
that's what I'm thinking.
So anyway, she's dope. The facilitator was dope. They have been having conversations all month about different eras of Black history and culture. So like the Motown era, the Harlem Renaissance, whatever. So now it was kind of like to pull it all together to talk about what Black history has meant for culture and for fashion. And, you know, we were able to talk about how fashion houses have only really been considering Black consumers for like 20, 30 years. You know, which is, it's not a long time. That
30 might be a stretch.
Yeah, 30 is a stretch. Like, we're talking about, we're really talking about hip-hop bling era if we're going to keep the fuck, right? Mm-hmm. So to see the Virgil proved Sean's theory that sometimes you just need to get some niggas around a nigga, or to give them like some collard greens, because once he really got a feel for how me and Bev were coming, because we had the latitude to be very much Naima and Bev, like he relaxed and the nigga got more nigga-ish as the conversation.
The Chicago came out.
The Ghanaian came out. Like, I didn't even know Virgil was first generation.
Yeah, I knew that.
Like that shit came out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, he went from seeming kind of like, I'm just here so I don't get fined in the beginning, to getting like really into the conversation and being really passionate about it. And I was like, okay. So
wait, did you get a gift bag?
I got a gift.
What did they give you?
All I can say.
Okay. Cool. All right. Cool. Let's move on. Peace to Virgil.
A lovely gift.
Peace to Virgil. Inky, you got a shout out because you usually do. If you don't, you ain't got to have one.
No, but I got a fuck that nigga candidate.
Oh, but who?
I already got 2 of them, but you're going to add the third. No, I'm going to add the third.
Oh, I was going to say Greg Abbott, Governor of Texas.
Greg Abbott and Tate Reeves, the fuck that niggas of the week.
I don't give a fuck.
But Tate Reeves is worse because he opened in Mississippi and they ain't had water in 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why he's opening it.
What you mean?
This is supposed to be recovery. This is their.
And then them niggas trying to get the heat off the fact that they don't have running
water. Oh, I see what you're saying.
The fact that Texas was an absolute shit show. Yeah. So now you're not talking about the meat and potatoes of the real issue here. Yeah. We're talking about a very, I don't want to be dismissive about it, but it's really surface, right? Like this mass shit is a surface thing, right? Motherfuckers been operating how they want to operate in both these states come hell or high water anyway. Mm-hmm. So this is just all for show. And it's a deflection and a diversion tactic for them to not deal with the meat and potatoes of why there are tax-paying citizens who are not able to get clean, usable water. We're not discussing the fact that there are businesses who've had to go bankrupt because of these fucking bills, these power bills, and the shit show that occurred, and the fact that people died on their fucking watch.
Yeah,
and they have not really addressed any of that.
any of it.
Let's shift the story. Yes.
Yeah, that's all. This is get your hand out of my pocket shit. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy Houston and Dallas, man, and I'm sad that I'm not going to be going there for a long time because I'm not fucking around, man. And I really like both those cities a lot.
I got to be honest with you, though. But to be honest with you, Jeff, like him saying the thing about this whole mask shit is that whether they say it or not is inconsequential to whether you actually put the mask on.
True.
Because having those rules in place clearly has not impacted the fact that people were not wearing them.
Yeah, people were. Yeah, some people weren't. Some
right,
people
like
weren't, yeah.
So that's my whole that's my theory on this. Right,
just sounds about right.
Just because you don't have to do something doesn't mean you should do it. Right. So to me, I'm still wearing my mask. I'm still operating with caution because I've been operating with caution because I didn't trust you niggas when you had to wear a mask because you wasn't wearing none. Okay, exactly. You're out here, you're nasty. You ain't been washing your hands. Yeah. Okay,
ain't been getting more reckless, even though the numbers are going up. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
Ain't no hand sanitizer in your car. I see shit, nigga. Yeah, like, I know what's going on.
But all the Lysol and ain't spraying shit.
Word. Just stocked up on 40 bottles of cans of Lysol. Shit's just still in the closet.
Just in the closet. Just
cleaning their whole house with Clorox wipes. Yeah.
I got a couple. It's not really a shout out, but I've been noticing, and there's another topic which I'm going to address a little later on the timeline. You know, there's always niggas on the timeline doing dumb shit, right? To niggas, you know, my whole niggas is dumb.
Especially on your timelines.
The whole niggas is dumb shit.
Still know what your algorithm is.
I don't either. I really don't either. So, but like, I've been seeing conversation. Like, I'm not gonna mention the cat's name because I like the nigga. Like, it's a cat. He's on the timeline. We've become friendly via the timeline. He's a music guy. He's not in the music business, but he's a writer and stuff. You know, he has some. Sometimes we clash, but that's just whatever. It's fine. But he said yesterday he did a thing where it was him and Scoop Jackson. Scoop didn't comment though, and he said the gods of Chicago R&B are Curtis Mayfield and Maurice White. Right. So first of all, I don't count Maurice White. Now I know he's born in Chicago, but Maurice White left Chicago when he was really young.
And went to
Memphis. Yeah. He went to Memphis and he got he cut his teeth at Stax and then obviously went to LA.
Stax
was
Memphis. Yeah.
Then he went to LA and he never came back to Chicago. So like I don't count Maurice in that, you know? Curtis definitely Chicago. And Curtis is a god and an icon. So there's no like me debating his level of genius. That's not what this was about. But I was like, hey, bro, all things considered. And, you know, let's take a lot of shit out, and I understand what we'll take out.
But you have
we're
to.
We're not going to not mention Robert.
Robert.
We're not going to mention Robert, bro.
Robert. You do.
This nigga said, Robert's at the kiddie table compared to them. I said, nigga, you are crazy. What are you talking about, bro? Now, again, I'm not discussing.
Can't stand that filthy nigga.
He's one of the greatest R&B artists of modern music. Period.
This your man was like, nah, he was literally. He was big in his era. I said, fam, this nigga wrote I Believe I Can Fly. I could stop it right there. I could really stop this conversation there as far as what echelon he's in. But then he wrote Like I Wish, and he wrote World's Greatest, and he wrote, you know.
Without the power anthems and the fucking happy people and shit.
All this shit.
12 Play, even though I can never listen to it again in my life.
Yeah, we understand.
It's a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, let's stop it.
It's one of the best, most cohesive, tightest, timeless R&B albums. Which is why, honestly, the R. Kelly shit pisses me off so bad. Because his body of work.
You can't celebrate him now.
Yeah, and his body of work. His body of work is so tied to the bullshit that I can't listen to it. But it's so great. Like, just in terms of pure musicality, right? Yeah,
come on, what are we talking about?
But B, he really is one of the greatest R&B artists of our, like, not even of our time, like, period. Like,
he's a lightning strike. That kind of genius just does not come around.
If you consider that he's a fucking savant, It's even more impressive.
Yeah, that he can't even read and write. Like I told the cat yesterday, and I don't know how to turn this bell off on my thing when the messages come in. You know,
this old nigga moment.
Jesus Christ! Jimmy, get in here and turn this button off on my computer.
You gotta mash it.
You gotta mash it down. This thing driving me crazy. These niggas, and they ain't talking. It's just a group chat. I mean, niggas ain't talking about shit. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
You told him something about him.
I worked with Robert like early on at job. I did promotions before I started to do A&R fully. So I was like, you know, taking Robert around. I remember taking Robert to BLS one night, and we just happened to run into Gambling Huff. They were there seeing the guy that did the late nights there, Vaughn Harper.
Oh, Vaughn Harper. Okay.
Yo, Gambling Huff was like, oh yeah, we know who you are. Yeah, this is like Rob's like second album. He's like, yeah, we know you are. Yeah, Honey Love. Yeah, we like that one. Gambling Huff. Like, give it. And Rob's crazy ass said, who's that?
Oh, nigga.
He didn't know where they were.
But that's also also how you know that Rob shit was like, I know God be so mad because God put that in him, right? Like, that could only have come from God. And this nigga fucked it off. Like, it had to be. Like, I know God be like, nigga, I could have given that to somebody else.
I'm going to say, though, too, in fairness, in 94?
That was the early. Yeah, 3-4.
93? 94? Yeah. It's
you might have had
like
to name some songs.
I did name the songs. Like today. He knew who they were in terms of their music. He didn't physically know who they were.
They were, yeah. Yo, when I said the songs, he knew. That's my point.
Yeah. That's my point. He knew who they were, but back then, you know, it's not like they were in Write On, right?
True.
Like they weren't in the back of Word Up. Like,
yeah, yeah. You would have to really know. You wouldn't really know when to know their faces to know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought that was weird. And then the other thing I was going to just mention is, and I don't know, Bron, if you want to, you want to take some of this too, is this whole debate, they come up all the time, but the past few days this debate about would you rather have an 800 credit score,
oh my god, niggas,
or $20 million $20 million
in this economy,
and this niggas girl, is arguing with me they'd rather have 800 credit. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking
this girl
about
said this girl said I'm just like, who, what did people tell you about credit?
No financial,
I feel like
medicine.
There's been too many drug dealers in their life. This girl said, what's the use of having the 20 million, having all that cash when you can't do anything with it without a
what can't you
and I was like, y'all not understand that if you can literally buy anything with cash, if you can hold up under the scrutiny of the SEC and the IRS.
Yeah, if it's legit.
Drug dealers cannot buy shit with a certain amount of cash. But if I go to somebody and say, I want to buy your house, I can give you a certified check for $350,000 today, they are not going to run my credit. They might ask me for some bank statements and shit.
Yeah, you know, ID or something, you know.
Ain't nobody running my credit because I'm not seeking credit, right?
And I'm like, nigga, you got a cashier's check for $350. I ain't asking for nothing, nigga. If it clears, we figure that out.
We good. We good.
Like, at another time.
You can have $20 million and a 450 credit score, and you're fine. Like, you're absolutely fine.
That's what I'm saying to these niggas. I'm like, what are you? One dude said to me, yo, man, but you know, shit, well, you could buy you some rental properties with 800. I said, nigga, why would I want to buy rental properties to be somebody's fucking landlord when I have $20 million in the bank? And I'm running around with Section 8, getting my Section 8 checks. From me. What are you talking about?
When you get to $20 million, your investment, you don't get investment property. You invest your money and let that shit be your investment property. That's all you do.
Go ahead, bro, because I know you got some stuff about this.
It was pretty much everything you guys said. But the problem that we see, right, is that this is a byproduct of the previous generation who were strangled by lack of credit score.
Out of credit.
Particularly black people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was a way, in essence, to weed us out. It was a way to weed us out of home ownership. It was a way to weed us out of housing and apartments. It was a way to get us in these unscrupulous and fucking awful car loans.
Yep.
Right? They use this credit score as this basis. And so we are so locked into, you know, I need to make, like, dude, 800 is a new thing.
Right.
5 years ago, there was no 800 credit score. It was like 750. So now it's 850 is your highest. You know what it is? Which again, gives you an idea of how arbitrary it is. My nigga, I promise you, you are not going to have a problem getting that 2008 Audi off Hillside Avenue with $20 million cash, my nigga. I can assure you. I can, I was just having a conversation where I'm like, if you went to an, I said, you know, we were talking about credit, and I said, yeah, you might have a 600 score, which might not be ideal. But if you went to a landlord with fucking 7 months rent, guess what?
He's gonna figure it out.
He's gonna figure out a way to take your cashier's check. Exactly. I can promise you that.
Right? I can pay you a year today. You gonna rent to me.
You renting to me. That's what it is, bro. Like, this ain't even really this is not even a hard debate. And what we see is that we see that there is a marriage, and again, I'm nobody's financial advisor. I don't got all the fancy schooling. But
that book
I know about a little bit, all that good book learning. But there is a space where it marries. And for most of us, liquidity and credit matters in unison.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about that level of liquidity, dude, like, first of all, there are very few people that even have that level of liquidity. They may have that level of equity.
Yeah.
In businesses.
Yeah.
But they don't have that shit cash on hand.
Sitting around.
That's when you recognize that they don't really kind of fathom or kind of understand how things work. Now, listen, $20 million, yeah, sure, you're going to buy a house outright cash, right? Because you don't have to. Now, you're not going to be living next to Tiger Woods and the niggas in Jupiter with them $30 and $40 million. Like, you ain't doing that.
But you'll be good.
Jupiter.
Fam, you will be all right. You get your look. You're going to get your condo down in Myrtle Beach.
Yep.
You'll be all right.
Get mama her house.
Get your little Hilton Head vacation home. Right. You know what I'm saying? Pay down that Camry, and y'all be all right.
Yeah, you're going to
be so
you
shady.
My thing is, if I got 20 M's in the bank, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion can kiss my ass.
Yeah, fuck
like,
y'all.
You can
They're
pay
not even.
Now, I'm carrying, I'm just doing straight Amex. I'm doing fucking 30-day rotating. Like, fuck all that shit. Like,
niggas think because they didn't miss a payment on their Discover card or their Capital One card, that just mean that they're going to go in and get a mortgage. Like, it doesn't work like that, fam. You do have to have savings. You do have to show liquidity. You do have to show a source of revenue, a source of income. What that means is why the banks say, I want 2 years of your tax return because I need to make sure before I loan you this money that last year you didn't make 12.5 on the books.
Exactly. Exactly. And then somehow you hit a lick and now you think you're five.
And now you coming to me. Now you got this mortgage you can't carry. Okay, yeah. And now I got to put you out, and the grass is all high. Like, this is not going to be 2007.
And Earl didn't stole the copper plumbing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so we're not doing that again. And that is the issue. I just would love for people to kind of not be so held into these sort of standards. But I will say that in fairness, I think that it is. It's been beaten into
us. You understand where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. I do understand where it comes from. And it's not coming from a place of, I don't want to say it's willful ignorance, because I just think that they believe that a credit, good credit, is a catch-all and an end-all. Because also, it is also used as a character assessment.
Yes.
And I ain't dating no nigga that got no 630 credit score.
No, not just that. Dude, when I applied years ago to the police department, you had to pull your credit report, bro.
So that was what one young lady said. She was like, even with the $20 million, I want to be a federal agent. And I said that the reason the reason that they run your credit, one of the reasons, I'm not saying only, exactly. One of the reasons they run your credit score for banks, police departments, and for stuff like federal agents is because if you have a low credit score, it could suggest you're in hardship, which could suggest you could be bought off.
Like, yeah, you're compromised. Yes.
Or, yeah,
yes.
You're compromised. But if you got a low credit score, but you got 20 million fucking cash sitting in the bank, obviously you are not compromised. You fine. Right?
The girl said she would have 20 million in the bank and still wanted to work as a federal agent.
It's cute to think that. Like,
you want to work every day?
Because your mind has no idea what $20 million in the bank liquid.
We're also not to play devil's advocate, because I know I feel like I'm Jeff with Gorilla Who Girl now. Not to play devil's advocate, but we all old niggas. Yeah. We all closer to the end than we are the beginning. What I'm saying is, I'm talking about in terms of working, right? I'm not saying that there's not a dream job or there's not some shit that we would want to do. If Jeff had $20 million tomorrow, that nigga's still going to be going to find some little ass act in St. Louis. Right? I mean that sincerely, right? I say that to say that is a part of your passion. It is a part of what gives you life. It's a part of, you know what I'm saying? The same shit with you now, right? Like, it's not going to stop you from wanting to do those things. And I think that when we're young, you know, I'm gonna walk out for lunch
and I'm gonna walk right to the motherfucking airport. Like, y'all niggas crazy. I'm going to Bermuda. Get the fuck out of here.
Not to get off on a tangent, but the number of times when I was still in the building where I would get a call on the weekend or be trying to do something and my phone be ringing, and I would have to think back to like the fantasy I had of walking across a Manhattan street on my cell phone and on my sending
my gear and all that.
It felt sexy then, right? And I had to be like, when I wasn't doing it in real life, I was like, that's fly. That's you busy. You got your phone
popping.
I used to have to say, this is the life I fucked. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I asked for.
The life I chose. That's, you know, what I asked for. But yeah.
So nigga, take the 20 men and go.
Niggas want to go to Rock Nation brunch.
Use the 20 million to fix your credit, you dumb fuck.
She's gonna work there. She's gonna work at that federal agency for about 6 months. Somebody gonna make her do some shit she don't wanna do. She gonna realize, I ain't fucking with these folks in here.
Yeah. I'm gone.
You remember Rochelle from Everybody Hates Chris? I ain't got to work here. My man got two jobs.
Exactly.
Imagine what's going to happen with 20 million.
Right.
Shit. So let's jump into a couple of movie things. I'm gonna do my one foreign film. I always do that. I know none of you niggas are ever gonna watch
because you're at the end of the internet.
Wait, Ika said that you. Ika texted me that you're at the end of the internet.
I'm close. I'm right there. I can see the edge. I can see that shit like right over there. So there's a movie called Bleach. It's a Japanese movie. It's based on an anime, and they really made it like. I mean, it's live action, but the whole thing is really feels like you're like watching a comic book. It's fly. It's like it's the fighting in all that. It's supposed to be another part. It is an animated series as well. So if you're into anime and that type of stuff, watch Bleach on Netflix. It's popping. Let's talk about Billie Holiday.
I didn't watch it yet.
Okay. Did y'all watch it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So it's the United States versus Billie Holiday. And what it is, it's like it's just about kind of like, there are flashbacks, but it's basically about a specific time in her life where the United States, J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI went after her because the song Strange Fruit was such a controversial record. And they felt like her singing this song about Black people being lynched in the South and, you know, how, you know, what it meant to Black people was going to stir up trouble, as they say. So they went after her, her from this point in her life and on, and tried to stop her from performing. And, you know, there were obviously always really heavy drug issues with her as well. And, you know, she got ripped off a couple of times. It was, you know, I enjoyed the movie. I really enjoyed Andra Day, right?
Andra Day.
Andra Day's performance to me was stellar. Like, you know, it's not what, it's different from what Diana Ross did. So it's not, you kind of, can't compare. It's just a very different performance.
Diana's supposed to be the standard. I feel like a few people have played Billy since Diana.
I think Lay Sings the Blues was the standard of the Billie Holiday story. But Andra's performance is just as dope. It's different, but just on that as dope level as Diana, in my opinion. I thought she was phenomenal.
I think the range of emotion she had to cover was absolutely insane, and she nailed that shit.
She did. She did. She was a little funny. Of course, she was a little sad. She was dark. She was, you know, she was everything.
She showed that duality between like Billy on stage versus Billy off stage. Yeah. She showed high versus coming down off a high withdrawal. I got emotional a few times just watching that many beautiful black people on screen at once.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember the boy's name, but everybody hates Chris.
Rhodes.
No, him.
I don't know.
Everybody hates
Tyler.
Chris, the Tyler or something. The Chris.
Tyler Williams.
Tyler Williams. He's in it as well. He plays Lester Young, who's a very famous saxophone player. Trevante Rhodes is in it. He plays an agent named Jimmy. I forget Jimmy's last name now. I'm blanking.
Jimmy Fletcher,
yeah. And by the way, this is all based in truth. So Jimmy was an agent and ended up falling in love with Billy, you know, and they had a relationship and a very complicated relationship. And it was, I thought some of the performance, Miss Lawrence was good. playing her,
such a surprise.
Yeah, playing her gay confidant. I didn't know who that, the woman, the heavyset woman, I don't know her name, but she was good too, who had the eye patch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know her name, but she was great too.
Divine Joy Randolph. I believe that's the same woman who played, she was in Dolomite. She was in The Return of Dolomite.
Oh, that is the Dolomite lady. Yes. What's her name
in
Dolomite? Like Loretta Brown or something? Something like whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what her name is. But yeah, I think that's her.
Yeah, I think this movie actually, because the opposite of Sucker is like, you know, it kind of works better to me that this movie was on Netflix and not in the theater, because I think I just think watching it kind of like in your own home and whatever, and a more on a smaller screen. I mean, we know TVs are big now, but a smaller screen, I think it worked better than if I'd have went to a theater and sat and watched it. Because it is a very dark, heavy movie.
It's also a little over 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a long movie as well. Yeah, yeah.
Joy Randolph is her name.
Yeah. So what did y'all think about it? Because I know you watched it too, bro.
I thought it was good. I thought the performances were excellent, actually. I thought that everyone sort of hit their mark as you know, with their performances. I will say my only critique of the movie was that I wasn't really a fan of the editing, if that makes sense to you guys. Like the film can play a bit choppy.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily a linear movie.
No, it's not linear because it's not flashbacks and stuff.
Well, not even so much as the flashbacks. It's almost like they're pods. It's almost like you're watching these sort of 7-minute pods of a scene, and then you kind of would jump to something else, and it was just like, wait a minute. And I just put it like this. There were several times in the film where I thought I had missed something. Mm. Like I had to kind of like go, like, did I miss a scene that connected these two scenes together? Because they don't seem to connect. Mm. There was a couple of that, but again, a two hour movie tells me a couple things. Like one, it was probably a fucking 3-hour movie.
I'm about to say it probably was a 4-hour cut at first.
And it was chopped down, right? So there's obviously going to be some editing involved. I thought that they did a really, really good job. I enjoy period pieces, and I enjoy when they hit the mark on those period pieces, not just style wise, but also kind of language wise and kind of the context of the time and the era, right? Like you can see how just outright, downright fucking abusive and gorilla pimp like these dudes were.
Yeah.
And that was kind of
that was how the time. It was
in the mid 40s, right? Like you can just It was expected. You listen to a lot of those songs, and there's just like lots of lyrics about physical abuse.
Absolutely.
In the music. It was just sort of a part of the nature of relationships back then. So it was, I thought it was well made. I thought it was good. Again, I think that people tend to see these historical figures and they think that they're biopics and they're expecting some things. I mean, I would have liked to see some context, a little more context to the character. Not that there was none, but just that there wasn't a lot for me, and not that I needed them to kind of, you know, basically go through her life.
But wasn't it meant to really be about? Because I did read somebody say that it say exactly what you said. It's not a Billie Holiday biopic. It is about this,
about the, you know, the United States case.
It is. But I will say that, and listen, I'm saying this not being a filmmaker, right? So I'm only saying this as a consumer, and maybe there is a technical reason for it, but it just seemed like there was not a lot of context to the character, even in a particular film period, right? We know that this isn't like Ray, where you're following Ray through this fucking 30-year window, right? Like, this isn't that. This is a very finite window. This is a 10-year period, probably the most tumultuous 10 years, you know, of her life. And they're trying to get a lot of things in that window. It just didn't seem like there was a lot of character development. Might be the wrong word, and maybe I'm not able to articulate it, and I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse, but I would have loved to seen a little more character from her. You know, she was, you know, she was a little more, I would assume that she was a lot more than just someone who got high and sung, right? Like, I would have liked to see a little more development in that space. And again, not to say that there was none, I just would have preferred it that way.
Yeah, so, and I'm glad she won the Golden Globe.
She was,
I was happy to see that.
She embodied that role. You know, there are very few biopics where you're watching and you're like, shit. And we use Ray a lot as sort of the barometer, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the standard now. And when you watch it, you're like, holy shit, she got her.
Ray and Plus Love voice. Got to it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. The inflections in her voice, everything about what was going on, it felt real, it felt authentic. So it was she was absolutely deserving of that.
So
I was a little hesitant to watch just because it's a Lee Daniels film, and I didn't want, you know, how he can tend to
that Lee Daniels shit.
But there was strikingly few moments of Lee Daniels bullshit in this movie, and it made me very happy that I actually watched it.
Where he make it super uncomfortable and all that shit.
So
definitely watch that.
Did y'all talk about I Care a Lot last week?
Nah, we haven't watched it yet. I still haven't watched it yet.
I watched it.
Oh, yeah, you watched. Yeah, but I haven't watched. Did you watch it, bro?
No.
Okay.
I heard about it.
I've heard a lot about it, but I just haven't gotten to it. I've been watching so much basketball. God damn. So I haven't gotten to it yet, but I will.
Okay. I have a question for Inka. Inka, are you, because I feel like you would be up on this. So I've watched a lot of TV over the last, I've come to this new thing. Well, not, I watch a lot of TV, period. But I've come to this new thing where it's like, if it's anything that's three seasons or longer, I decide I'll give it a shot. Because I figure there must be something to it if it's running that long, right? So I stumbled upon a series called Outlander. Do you watch this, Inka?
No. Okay. I know what it is, but I don't watch it.
But there's a series called Outlander. Jeff, you might get into it just on some background bullshit. Sean, it's absolutely not for you. But Inka, I figured you might watch it. It's based on a series of books, but it's like half sci-fi, half historical drama, romance situation about this woman who's in Scotland, and she stumbles through this this rock formation that's like a Stonehenge, but it's a time portal. And she ends up back in the 1500s, 1600s, something like that, in Scotland, and like ends up stuck there from 1948 or something like that. And it's about kind of like her, this dual life between what she had in present time, what she has in the past, and like trying not to impact the past because she stumbles upon like a direct ancestor of her husband, you know, like that type of shit. Mm. And it's about to start. It just started filming its sixth season, but it's remarkable because sometimes the show is really cheesy and sometimes, but I was so fascinated. And it is like the greatest example of a white woman getting people into all kinds of shit because she just won't mind. Like, this woman is always into all kinds of shit. I just, if any of y'all out there watch it, tweet me, because I started tweeting about it towards the end of my watch, and mad people on Twitter when I was on my other account were like, oh my God, I love that show. Oh my God, I watched that show. Oh my God, that's my shit. Oh my God.
What's it on? What platform?
It's on Netflix. It's okay. Called Outlander, but it's also on, I think it's originally a TMC show?
TNT? Not USA or somebody? It's one of those AMC, cable networks.
The AMC show. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. But it's on Netflix now. But anyway, all five seasons are on Netflix. I also watched, did y'all watch this joint, Behind Her Eyes?
I clicked on it, and I was about to, and I didn't, but it's in my queue.
Okay, here's the thing. It's going to be hard for you to get into because it is kind of it's like mediocre with some bright stuff. It's mediocre with a lot of potential, right? But it is worth staying through to the end because it has the sickest twist ending that I've seen in a long, like I 100% didn't see the shit coming. 100% didn't see.
Okay. I'll check it out. Right now I'm watching New Girl by myself because I think that show is hilarious.
Did you get to the Prince episode?
Not yet.
The Prince episode? Phenomenal. And your man's in it.
Funny show.
And he's in it.
It was his idea.
Yeah, no, he's in it.
It
was his idea. He was like a fan of the show. Yeah, it's crazy. And the song he plays is incredible.
Oh, plays. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to keep watching. But and then with Travis, we're watching The Sopranos. And we're on like season.
Oh, I want to do a rewatch of The Sopranos.
That's an amazing show. Right. And I'm sad I wasn't.
You didn't watch it in real time, right?
Yeah, I didn't live in America and I couldn't stream it.
You know what? A rewatch of The Sopranos would be a dope.
Let me just chime in here. When I tell you that shit is so fucking accurate.
For New Jersey girl dudes.
Dude.
Oh yeah.
I went into cigar shop and I swear this guy was fucking Paulie Walnuts. Overcoat, the fucking hair. They were clearly watching the NCAA game. He had a fucking wad of cash. Like, that is not far from where I live. So, like, those spots, those haunts, those little, yes, we see them. Yes, they're still very much there.
Still popping.
Still got their sweatsuits on. All the old, yes, dude, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that.
And I also just watched American Gods, but I stopped after the end of season two because of all the drama with
Orlando
runner in Orlando and all the colors, all the cast of color.
Okay. So I want to, next week we're going to definitely discuss, I'm very interested about this Harry and Meghan interview with Oprah, which is coming on.
I'm excited to see it.
I'm very interested to see it. It comes on Sunday. We got the WandaVision finale coming up this week.
Yo,
how are they gonna wrap this shit up?
WandaVision, like, obsessed.
Yo,
like,
WandaVision is hot. It's hot. It's a hot show.
That shit pulled me in. I don't care about Marvel as much as everyone else does, but you know, I'm watching because this nigga cares, and I'm in. I watched it without him Friday.
Yeah. What's that?
Oh, Agatha.
All I keep hearing about is Agatha.
Oh, Agatha. And the song.
Here's the twist in episode 8.
Hot.
Like, niggas was up at 3 a.m. live tweeting this shit.
I watched
the first 3 episodes. And
somebody gave me, shout out to friend of the show, Sharice gave me her Disney login because I was like, I'm not paying for another service.
Oh, you can have mine.
What? Yeah, everybody gets logins now. Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak dropping a single Friday. Very interesting.
Cocaine?
It should be. I forget what's the name of the group. It's like Silk something or the Silk Duo, and Bruno got the fro with the porn stash, and
This is such an appropriate pairing. I just want them I just want them to have like a velvet painting and like one of the wicker chairs and the fucking peacock. They don't do all that.
Like I said, Bruno
has like a line of tracksuits coming out.
Bruno grew the afro out. He got a full.
One of the bead curtains. Like I need all that. That is all that shit.
So I'm excited about that. Definitely have to talk about. And I know Brug, I want to get into this. The Biggie documentary, which dropped. When did it drop? Sunday?
March 1st.
Yeah.
I didn't really see a lot of people talking about it.
It's really good. It's really good.
Is it anything new though? Like, what don't we know?
Didn't know that he had just hundreds of hours of footage from a camcorder. Like, there was a guy who just followed him around.
That's a bad boy thing too.
D-Rock just videoed everything.
Like, no, I saw him in ways that I'd never seen him before.
Yeah. All things bad boy is all on camera somewhere. Yeah. Don't ever let anybody tell you that it's
not. Yeah, D-Rock was like, I just started filming and then Biggie was with it and I literally just filmed from the day they walk out the house and Biggie was like, yo, you got extra tapes? Like, he was like, film everything. But what I really enjoyed about this is it's not that it's a whole bunch of shit. It is some stuff that we didn't know. But what I liked about it, it's not like, the East Coast, West Coast beef. It's just about Biggie and his life.
Like a funny, charming nigga?
Yes. Told through the eyes, obviously, of his mom, who's outstanding in the movie. Outstanding. I love his models. And his friends. Like, it's his friend. And, like, you know, 50 grand. Like, the guys that didn't even...
I was going to say, that was the thing that I...
Go ahead, Sean.
The thing that I loved most about the documentary was that these were people who really knew him. Mm-hmm. These were not industry people.
Nope.
These were not people who kind of came around later on in life. The people who did, who they showed that would have been air quotes that came around kind of after he had gotten on, were people who still intimately knew him, like Mark, right? Yeah, like that's Mark a person that he didn't grow up with him. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like that's a close relationship. Mm-hmm. That's not a bullshit fluff relationship. And that's what I really enjoyed. Too often I see documentaries focused on trying to get people with names to kind of come on and talk about people or things that they weren't really a part of.
Yeah.
So this was a little refreshing. And you were able to put faces with the names if you didn't know, See Gutta, Bridge and all that.
Yeah.
You know, and the most Brooklynest line ever, which was, we wasn't really doing that. I was still robbing niggas, of course, but we wasn't really selling crack. which was the most, that's right there, that is Brooklyn 85-95. Yeah. That line right there. So it was really
And he also
good.
Says that also, line. Also, he says a line, which is dope, too. He's like, yeah, me and I was, I think it was C-Gutter, he was saying, I was talking to Big, and I was like, yo, either, like, I'm going to get locked up, or I'm going to get murked, because I can't keep robbing niggas every time I turn a corner. Like, somebody going to catch up to me.
Literally.
Like, so like, we got to figure something out, you know?
And what I also, I will say, Jeff, that is a great point, that it was purely focused on Biggie as a person.
Yeah.
And really not as an artist.
No.
Right? Like, they really, the fame part is a very small part of the documentary.
They don't really mention the fame really that much.
That's what I'm trying to say. They only really mention that at the peak of, at the sort of the end of the documentary. Mm-hmm. It seems to me like, I don't want to say that they're over their grief, but they have been able to process their grief.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can talk about it in a way that is almost freeing, it sounds like.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, there's a freedom
in
how they're speaking about him now. And the one thing I will always say, too, that I enjoy is that, I've watched everything. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from that era. But, like, all of the stories are consistent. That's when you know it's real.
Yeah.
You go back to any of those documentaries, all of those stories are consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing that I enjoyed. And last thing I'll say was, I love the fact that they made this a very Brooklyn thing.
Oh yeah.
And like really identified what and how the variances of a block or two can be almost a world away.
Because mm-hmm. they would talk about that. He's like, yeah, I live between Gates and da-da-da-da, which is right around the corner. But if you go over here, it mm-hmm. changed. Like, yes. D-Rock was like, my block changed 7 blocks away, but it's a world away from where
he was. And that is so accurate.
They put a graphic in for a nigga yeah. like me who doesn't know anything about that.
Yeah,
and they would, you know, highlighted his house and then would draw a little line
yeah.
to the next dude's house. And I was like, that is so helpful. Thank you so much.
You know what else I love that I hadn't seen anybody do in a Biggie story is they really highlighted his Jamaican heritage.
To yes. the
point where they had his grandmother, who's, God bless her, looks, I was like, she's 96.
I was getting ready to say, she got to be 100.
I was like, she looks like she's like 60.
She's but, beautiful.
Yeah. Clear as a bell, still got her faculty, so she's in it. His favorite uncle.
Jazz musician is also in it.
Well, I didn't know all of any about that. There was a jazz.
What was crazy is the moment I saw it, I was like, I fucking know this guy. Like, I've seen him
around.
I've definitely seen that guy. Like, I was like, nah, dude. You know when you see somebody,
yeah.
you can't put your finger on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I fucking know this guy, man. But yep. at that time, that was so. There were two neighborhoods. Obviously, you have Harlem. Outside of Harlem, two of the places where a lot of musicians would go was that Brooklyn Clinton Hill section, mm-hmm. and actually South Orange. Like a lot of musicians lived in that sort of South Orange pocket.
There's another one too out there, St. Albans and Queens.
Oh yes, 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 yes.
That's where Louis Armstrong.
So those were like the little enclaves.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, it was the other thing I will say, because we often would see, you know, I don't want to say with Big, but kind of right after that Biggie, that era, there was this. I haven't been rapping for too long. I'm just really good at this phenomenon.
Well, that took over. Last decade, yeah.
Right? And I love the fact that they show, like, he had been doing this.
Yeah.
Like, he always
like a round kid outside doing this. And yes. had been like, writing since he could like, write.
I've been doing this. So mm-hmm. when you hear him now, it's almost, I don't want to say it takes away the idea of a prodigy, because I think he was, but I also think it shows some level of hard work and stick-to-itiveness and how you get good at something over time.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And also, like, Big, I hope, because now I'm going to watch it, because I honestly...
It's really good.
I saw one promo for it, and then I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. But... I think there needs to be an emphasis, because isn't this year is the 25th anniversary of when he died, right? I think
He died 94, 95.
Yeah,
96.
He was 96.
Yeah, Pac was 97.
Pac was 97.
Yeah.
No, Pac was first, then Big. So maybe not. So
that's right. You're right. You're right.
But
you're right. Yeah.
But so next year. But at any rate, Biggie will have been dead longer than he was alive. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm hoping that it emphasizes how young Big was.
Oh yeah, it does. You can really get it in this doc. It's like you're like, yeah, he was 24. They were kids, and they show when he's talking like in a lot of because of the D-Rock footage. They're just hanging out, and you see like, yeah, they were kids, man. They were fucking kids.
Yeah, a friend of mine is working on actually a book on a bio on Big, and he interviewed me for it, and he was asking about like people from our generation, like how we reconcile like Big's relationship with Kim, what we know about it now. And I was like, I think people have to remember, like, everybody judges things from a 2020 at the time, as though this person was an adult, like he was 24, you know. I think you have to think about that in terms of like, yeah, he was doing a bunch of bullshit, but he was a young man who was still figuring shit out. He hadn't been famous that long even. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot to it.
Yeah. Well,
and Kim was younger.
Exactly. Yeah. And he was 24 when he died, which means when he was messing with Kim, he's like 22, 23. Right. Like, he was a child, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't like a 47-year-old man. He was a kid.
Exactly.
And yeah, what he did with Kim, you know, they did some wrong shit. Kim faked all that, but like, I mean, keeping it trill, you should ask your man, nigga, what was you doing the 23? Was you a stand-up nigga? Because I wasn't.
Well, right.
But also, and also, like we've talked about here before, too, you also have to put it in the context of the era. Like, all of us have learned more since then. Because we were all kids. Fuck. Like, exactly. We were shit. We
Everybody
were all
was young and wilder.
We had a different barometer of judgment ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no, I highly recommend it. Like I said, it's light is definitely the wrong term. It's not that it's a light documentary, but it's not dark.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. not dark and heavy where you like,
it's very human. It's not like a performer. It's very.
Yeah.
I also, I have to confess, I don't think I've ever said this. I have never watched Notorious in its entirety because it just didn't grab me.
The movie?
I was actually reluctant. I was actually reluctant to watch this, to be honest with you. I had gotten to a point with Big in particular that I think a lot of people are probably at this age with Whitney now, which is like, I don't want to see another stone unturned mm-hmm. unnecessarily.
Right.
And I don't feel like we're allowing these people's souls to rest because we keep trying to exploit it.
Yes.
And this was refreshing because it didn't feel exploitive. This was so not about his death. Like everything is centered around his death. Everything is centered around the ending of his life.
Yeah. Right.
And this was such a refreshing. This was so refreshing. And it was such an, you know, briefly, I don't think since maybe Mike Tyson, Brooklyn had been more prouder.
True.
Like you couldn't tell us nothing. Right. Like you really couldn't tell. You can't tell us shit. No way. But you really couldn't tell us nothing when Big hit the scene.
Yeah.
And there was a. I can't really explain. There was a bubbling presence about that shit. Like there was everywhere. Like I just, you can't really put it in the context. You can't really put it in the words because everything is IG now and everything is, you know, everything is so sort of contracted, but it was such a special time.
But bro, I think they do kind of put it, not into words because it's a film, but they do show what you're talking about. And I thought it was great that they had this, more footage as well. They showed, of course, like a clip, not that long, once you put the clip up, you know, in front of Frankie Campbell's when, you know, Kim is crying and it's awful, right? It's fucking awful. And then they show the procession. I guess it was a police copter was following the procession down the FDR. And they're like, oh, they're at the Brooklyn Bridge. Oh, da, 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 da. And they, you see, like, when they go into Brooklyn, like, for what you're saying, bro, it turns into a full-blown celebration.
That's how proud you were of him, it was like
you're celebrating him for what he meant to y'all in Brooklyn.
Yes. Yes. You know there was very, and let me specify, because maybe that's probably the issue. Like Bed-Stuy is the heart and soul of where he's from, right? Like mm-hmm. that is the guts of where he's from. Those are the people that you saw by and large. Yeah. Those are people from mm-hmm. Bed-Stuy. I just felt like Brooklyn as a whole was proud.
Yeah.
You know, niggas in Flatbush, niggas in Crown. So, I guess that's what I was saying. But yes, they were obviously sad about his life, but there was just a chest poked out moment in mm-hmm. time mm-hmm. That we felt about it. So
absolutely. Yeah, no question. So we highly recommend that one. Real quick, just we ain't got to get into
it. I can tell by that side you about to talk about some bullshit.
We have so many things. A couple more things I want to touch before we end up. So I don't want to go deep. I just want to mention Love and Marriage Huntsville. It's been a every week. It's bonkers. Like it's. I mean, it's full on fuckery.
Let me just say. Me and my mother would not have a social relationship at all if she spoke to the people that I love the way that Miss Wanda speaks to everybody who's not her daughter.
Everybody. Reckless.
I don't know how Tisha is not seeing that that's a problem, just like as a human person.
Yeah.
Not necessarily as, you know, even though that's your mom, it's on like Candy and OLG levels, like at this point. You just let her say anything and ruin everything.
But not only she let her mom say anything and ruin everything, but then she like talks to the people like, why y'all mad? Why y'all mad? You know how that's how my mother is. Like, why are you upset? Like, you know, you ain't have to be mad at my mother even though she shitted on you. It's craziness, bro. Like,
how you come to somebody's kid's graduation
uninvited
with the salt shaker just ready?
Uninvited.
Like, I'm going to destroy this whole shit.
Yeah, and then
see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, when Kimmy comes at her, she's like, what's the problem?
I love that. Kimmy just kind of stares blankly at her when she's talking about it, like, I can't reason with you. Like, you're just not.
Yeah,
smart.
You're in a few fucking.
Gives you this look like.
Yeah, you're
can't.
You're bonkers. I can't fuck with you.
fuck that.
I wanted to mention. We gotta mention Cuomo. Like, okay.
Did you see the press conference today?
No. Was he wilding?
I caught like a tiny piece of it, but we're having issues with the cable. Anyway,
okay, I'm out of the loop on this. What is going on with Cuomo?
Okay, so it's come out.
I literally have not been.
Okay,
is it that he? Okay, go ahead, John.
It's come out, and I don't know how many women, but it's come out that several women have said that he's been, sexually abusive to them. As pulled them in the office, trying to kiss them.
I don't think it's been sexually abusive as much as it's been harassment.
You're right. You're right. A lot of harassment and inappropriateness with several women. I don't know the amount of women. And he basically came out and said, yeah, I'm sorry, I was fucking up. And of course that de Blasio, Christine Gillibrand, they've all turned on him and they want him to like resign and quit and all that stuff. Yeah. I have to say this. And this is gonna be just me, so
the words of Jeffrey Slash
do not represent the Pop Life podcast. This is me. I am not caping. I'm not saying that he didn't do what he's being accused of doing, allegedly and all that stuff. That's not what I'm saying here. So please don't think I'm on some, like, women be tripping. I'm so not that. But I will say the timing of all this to me is a bit suspicious because this guy's been the governor for a long time.
He has been. He's in his third term.
That's what I'm saying. And these things didn't just happen like last month. These things have been going on for a while. Again, I'm not saying they didn't happen, but I know that him and Trump hate each other.
He may have done it, but they may have been encouraged to come forward.
Yes. I feel because like there might have been some nudges from maybe some.
It's
Trump's
like your man Giuliani after 9/11. Like, he's handling this crisis. He has high visibility. But they want to remind the world that he's a piece of shit so that we don't get another Trump in office who doesn't care about women.
But Cuomo has claimed he has no plans on running for president. I don't know if that's true. Now, he said it so many times.
He definitely don't now.
Are we sure?
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Gave a press conference today, I believe, saying, I was not sexually inappropriate to my recollection.
Yeah,
that's all that I heard is him basically denying all the allegations.
I think he's just like
a creepy ass old nigga who didn't realize he was being a creepy ass old nigga.
Cuomo has fierce nipples. That's a
he does.
Yes, yes, because you can actually, sometimes when he wears a golf shirt, you can actually see them, like because they're rings. Like you can. So him.
So basically, he's
a freak ass nigga.
The only reason I know this is because
nigga be getting his balls tickled by a feather.
The only reason I know this is because Chris Cuomo on CNN has become like a fucking sex object.
Yeah, sex symbol,
there was something comparing Mario and Chris, and they talked about that. So anyway, but New Yorkers like as. Pleased as we were with Cuomo's shepherding us through this COVID crisis, people need to understand we do not fuck with him. Like, he's essentially a Republican who is a Democratic governor, and we don't really like him. So,
New Yorkers fuck with anybody in leadership?
What happens with New Yorkers is we'll fuck with you for maybe like the first year or that first term,
and then we don't like
and after
you.
That, we don't like you no more.
Bloomberg was the opposite. Bloomberg was the only person. Like, we didn't like him at first. We didn't like him for his first term. Then we fucked with him for his second term. We reelected him for a third. We let him actually change the rules. We reelected him for a third term. And then we didn't like him anymore.
Yeah, then it was like, yo, you got to get the fuck out of here.
It's like, never mind, nigga. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the only... But anybody else, like, we might not like you at first, and then we like you for a minute, and then we don't like you anymore. Or, like, with Dinkins, we liked him after he was gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. But no, we don't really like people. So I don't know what Andrew Yang thinks is about to happen. But anyway, that's a whole
other thing on the wrong train.
But with FOMO, upstate is so different than the city. And he's always beefing with whoever our mayor is.
Always.
And they control, and the biggest thing is they control the funds for the MTA.
MTA.
So mm-hmm. that reason alone, we don't fuck with him. So, like, right now, like, nobody is, like... And people will probably try to be like they are with folks in Gavin Newsom, who they're recalling in California. Like,
y'all
can't talk about Ted Cruz when you don't talk... We don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah.
We absolutely will criticize Cuomo. Do whatever you got.
I think the important thing here is to recognize that even at 63 years old, you're supposed to adjust and adapt.
Yes.
I understand that coming of age as a young man, what was clearly done in 1977, right?
When you were like fucking
20 years old, does not fly today, right? Like, you know that.
Right.
So I don't think it's a lot or a big stretch to understand that not only are some of the things that you think are appropriate may not be, but the fact that you're in power impacts that level of inappropriateness. I don't think this is as hard to grasp as some people think. And I think that because politicians, particularly men who, I mean, listen, Cuomo's a good looking guy for 63. He clearly cares about his body. He clearly, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's 63, all right? He can, you know, like, I get it. Right. So clearly he's a guy who uses that as a part of his shtick.
Yeah.
Schmoozing.
The man's man.
Politicking, working a room. All of those things come into play. Right. And I don't think it's difficult to recognize that grabbing a young woman with both of your hands on her face.
Wild, my man.
It's inappropriate. Yeah, it's wild. Inappropriate. Yeah. It's inappropriate, my nigga. Like my kids used to say, inappropriate. It's inappropriate. Like, no. Like, because it is such an and I'm only using that example because that's the picture that I saw. And you can see the cringe on this young woman's face.
Yeah.
There is no jovial way to touch someone like that. No. That is only intimate touching, right? Like, there's no
I wasn't trying to get at you. it's bad. So we're gonna see. It's bad. So we're gonna see what's gonna happen. I wanted to mention. I want to just mention the Woody Allen doc. It's four parts. They're going to number three. I think we should discuss it when it's over. But
my head exploded.
Yo, one and two?
I think so. I haven't seen two, but I seen one. Yes, I think I think we should. I think we should
wait till it's over. And then
but I also wasn't surprised. I think this is one of the things I said just coming off one. So I had awareness. I think I want to say the first Woody Allen movie I saw was Hannah and Her Sisters. I would have been like 9 or 10, right? Mm-hmm. But I understood even then a little bit about Woody and the people he had been involved with. And even then, I didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand how like these brilliant actresses were involved with him because I didn't see it on screen. To me, Woody is kind of like Spike. Like, Spike Lee, with the exception of Mars, is rarely, like, the most entertaining character in his movies, right? And I felt like Woody is like Spike like that. Like, sometimes you actually want to be like, nigga, could you not write yourself in the movie? You know what I'm saying? Like, but people just like, oh, he's so brilliant. He's so this, he's so that. And I'm like...
Well, I will say this. The early movies, like Broadway, Danny Rose, and like
Annie Hall.
Those movies are fucking hilarious. Yo, the early joints fun, like your ribs hurting funny. Like he, the early, then he, you know, he went another way as he got deeper into his career. But like the early joints, I said, you know, if you could stomach watching him as what, from what we're learning, but they're really, really.
They are, funny. But then later,
it got weird later. It got really weird later.
Yeah, his neurosis comes through too much.
They talk about a lot of that shit in two, like what, you know, part two is bumps.
It's hard to
feel bad for Mia.
Look at the story objectively.
Yeah.
But and think like, oh my God, I would never, blah, blah, blah. But like Mia Farrow, I have like five more minutes of patience to deal with her being gentle about it.
Like Mia's first marriage, like she was married to an older man before, right?
Her first marriage was Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Bro, I forgot about Frank. Yeah. He was
50.
Yeah, when she was like a kid. Hold up. That
was like 2 or 3 years.
Huh?
That was her first lead on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I knew that. That was Frank Sinatra. That was her first marriage. She was like 20 or something.
She was on.
There you go. 19 when she started dating him.
Yeah, and he was like 49.
And then her second husband was
Andre Previn.
Her husband was almost 20 years older.
Yeah, she met Frank on a set. She was in this show called Peyton Place, which was this huge,
nighttime drama
in the 60s or whatever. And they happened to be on the same set. And he met her, and Frank pushed up and married her. Like, left his wife type shit. Like, and married her.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. She talks about you got to see part two. She talks about all that shit.
In a couple weeks when it's over, like,
yeah, we're going to discuss it in this entire. Because it's really intense.
I don't know if I can keep watching it.
It's hard.
I get very angry.
It's a hard watch. It's a hard watch. The more shit's revealed, you're like, God damn, bro.
And now, on the eve of part three, I'm like, what more could this nigga have done and still be walking around? I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. We're going to mention Versus. D'Angelo.
The D'Angelo concert.
I was asleep.
Didn't do well.
If it's not hot and popping by 9, I'm turning on Law and Order.
Well, he didn't come on until 10.
But that, which is why I saw 3 minutes. Fault. Apparently, he was actually an hour early. It was their fault.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The numbers were the lowest that I've seen. The highest I saw was 150, and the lowest I saw was like 105K. It did not do well. The Friends, I don't know what happened with that. Maybe people couldn't get in.
Apparently he said that, somebody told me that he said that the viewers were the Friends.
Well, that was crazy because he had Method Reggie come out, and then he had Gabby Her come out, and then that was it. And people, I think I'm not alone in expecting, people were expecting to see, you know, I don't know, maybe
like Raphael Sadiq.
Q-Tip. Or
yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. It was
I heard a rumor originally it was supposed to be Maxwell and him for Valentine's Day, but Maxwell couldn't do it.
Max.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I look at him, bro. Bro, sure. Face. So
check the numbers, bitch.
I turned on a fucking basketball game after a while. This shit was just.
Because let me tell you who I actually don't need to see live on TV. I'll see him live in person. I'm not watching D'Angelo live on TV because he doesn't. Maybe he did for Versus because it's Versus, but he doesn't play a straight set and he doesn't play his song straight.
He was playing the song straight, but he was singing over there, playing the vocals. He was singing over the vocals. He didn't have a band. It was just him on the keyboard.
So
there's nobody. There was scratches on stage with him and that's it. So he didn't have anybody to play off of. So that's why I say, like, yeah. Well, I mean,
he also doesn't have a lot.
You don't have 20.
But he's like not the person to put on, to carry an entire verse. He ain't even the person to put on. Like, you got to have it be like D'Angelo and Questlove or some shit. Like, he needs at least one other person.
Yeah, he needs somebody to play off of. So I didn't enjoy that one. I didn't watch it in full. I guess they're going to figure out. I saw something today. Well, I guess they're doing Ray versus Ghost next, which I also don't like because
they're in the same group. What is that?
The same fucking group, and they like and within that group, they are the two. They are paired together.
Yeah.
So it's like what? That's like Daz versus Corrupt. Like what the fuck? Like that is.
I think we can all agree that we've sort of reached that point of versus. We've talked about this a couple of verses ago where we said that the spirit and the energy that this captured has been, you know, to some degree commodified, and it doesn't feel the same, right? You know, they got scratched doing, this is brought to you in part by Chili, you know, Chili's, you know, get your baby back ribs, by, you know, it's like, nigga, what do we, you know, go to
and go. Almost hasn't, there's not the same need for it. Like, a year ago.
Well, I think that I think they can do. I don't think it needs to be. And again, I think we've discussed this. I don't think it needs to be an every week sort of thing when it was kind of initially kind of going that way. Mm-hmm. Like if you did this, you know, maybe once a quarter.
Yeah.
But really did it, I think it could be impactful. But again, I say this as someone who's watching, right? Like, I'm not in the room. I'm not deciding. They're clearly the deciders. So God bless them. But D'Angelo, who is an amazing talent, an immensely talented guy, is not a charismatic carrier of conversation in that way. Right. He is not funny with banter. He does not kind of move in this space of social media age and sort of knowing pop culture and current events and being able to play off that. He doesn't really do that. He's very artistic. He's like clearly by that coat that he had on, he's clearly an artist, right? Like, that's his bag.
And we don't know a lot about him. I don't think we're personally invested in his story.
That's my point, right? Because he's not on social media. So you don't get to really kind of get this this insight into who he is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, quite frankly, he doesn't really have a lot of, you know, up-tempo songs. He doesn't, you know, you don't have the band there. You don't have the background vocal. That's a huge part of his show.
Yeah, the whole band thing.
That's the whole band thing and seeing him live and all of that sort of stuff. And so it's just not the same. Also, and I'm going to say this too, and I'm saying this because it need to be said. Okay. There's no fucking reason for you niggas to be an hour late. There's none. There is zero reason when you are telling people, particularly people of a certain age, okay, my nigga, because Voodoo is motherfucking 21 now. Okay. Right. Voodoo could drink. My nigga, like, so like you're power. This is yes. So the people that you're really gearing this toward are people who are within either, they're like 35 to fucking 60. Okay. That's your wheelhouse. Okay, my nigga. And they're not going to be sitting around for no hour. And God bless Scratch kept people there for the longest because he was doing his thing.
Yeah. He do.
But like,
that was the point. There was supposed to be like a pre-show situation. I think they need to let niggas know that. I think honestly, part of the problem is that in an attempt to grow it, right, to grow the production and grow verses, they did end up doing exactly what they were trying not to do, which was losing some of the heart of it, like Sean said. And, you know, when you consider that part of the draw of this in the first place was watching two artists, like just come back and forth with each other, like play off of each other from their own homes, comfortable, relaxed, chilling, right? And I think as soon as we got to the point where they decided not to have folks perform together anymore, which was a novelty at that point, they could have gone back to what people loved about it, which was like the more relaxed,
more intimate
environment. Press a fucking button. Let's go. Like,
tell a couple stories.
Tell a story. Press play, because
that's another thing that was missing from this is that he doesn't take you into the process of this.
Not at all.
Yo, I remember when we recorded this, we had Electric Lady. So-and-so came in, and I heard a bass line, and it was like, boom, boom, boom. And, you know, that's what I mean by he doesn't have the charisma or the ability to do that. And that's fine. There's no judgment that the fact that he doesn't do that, right? Like, he's just, maybe he's just not comfortable with it, right? I just think that we know that that is the basis of what Versus has become. particularly because it started off as a producer thing, right? So that was all the stuff. And them niggas lied. Like, and I mean, when I say lie, I'm talking about black men lie. You know, niggas, you know.
They be telling the truth,
but it's they put some
It didn't quite happen that way, but okay.
Quite happen like that. Yeah, nigga, I came in and Whitney was sitting there. And no, she wasn't, nigga. No, she wasn't. She was in the car. She was in the car. Bobby was in there talking your head off, nigga.
Exactly. And you like, where Whitney at, man? We got to cut this record.
So you don't really get any of that. And again, I understand that we're in a position now where you have to make money on your shit, because if you don't, people will take your shit and they will make money.
Exactly.
So I am not, and I've said this, you know, I've not begrudged anybody for commodifying, selling space, making money off this content, whatever their situation is, God bless, but it may have run its course, at least under the guise of what we thought about. And also, too, I think Swiss made such a point of you needing 20 joints that people kind of got backed out of that ability to do this shit.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, and I've said this to you all on the group text before. I'm not, obviously, being from the era I'm from, and you know, working with the people I've worked with over the years. I'm definitely not mad at him, you know, them doing hip hop connections at all. Like, let's do it. But, you know, let's do it. But I really think that they're, you know, and it's been shown more than once that, you know. And I know it's a hard thing to coordinate, but if you can get like two kind of legendary artists together, again, the way they did Miss Gladys and Miss Patty, even the way they did Jill and Erica, if you can get that together, the energy of those two artists, and honestly, the sweet spot for Versus seems to also be women, right? Yeah. So if you can get that together, and it's not an easy thing to do, I know.
But it fucking
works, yo. It fucking works. Like,
I feel like they're probably trying and can't. I feel like now...
Maybe.
People want money. We're a year in. People want money. I don't know. And I think that Versus is probably covering some artist costs, but they're not giving you like...
They're not going crazy. But like how they deal with Patty and Miss Glass with the commercials and all that, like that's, you know, that again, those are iconic artists. I mean, you know, it's hard to kind of quantify them. But I mean, get Charlie versus Frankie Beverly, like, because in my mind, those type of artists, the span of their demo is so crazy, because obviously they're in their 60s, some of them 70s now, but they span down so much because
Frankie doesn't have a voice,
but he could play the records and talk. We know Frankie ain't got a voice, but he still
doesn't really talk. I was gonna say, I think Frankie doesn't have a voice.
Like,
I see your point, though. My point is,
yeah, because those artists are, again, they span so far down because those are the artists that your mom played on Saturday morning when you clean house and all that shit. And then, you know, at Essence Fest and, you know, all these places, cookouts, whatever, we know they're part of our lives. And a lot of those artists, you know, and I'll just say Frankie and Charlie again for sake of conversation, don't really get that upper echelon accolade.
Yeah.
So this is their accolade.
Yeah.
Like, this was Gladys and Patty's accolade. Of course, they both won Grammys. They both are, you know, well-respected, you know, but still, like, that was our chance to celebrate them.
Right.
And I think that, and again, I know it's probably hard to do, but another one.
I don't think it was hard to do in the beginning of the Versus. Yes, I think now when you have sponsorships and you have people and you have these other corporate structures, you're now selling that to someone.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to articulate what Frankie Beverly and Maze means if you are not a part of this experience.
True.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't really quantify that when somebody says, show me this or show me that. You know, D'Angelo
what is some shit you can say, hey,
Dave Chappelle likes him.
Sign him up. Yeah, I got you.
Hey, sign him up.
Yeah, I got you. Questlove is his best friend. Oh yeah, let's go. You know, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that that's a part of what it, you know, what's happening right now. And look, I think clearly somebody like that, I think also the other part is too, I think that they're looking for international artists. And wow. I don't necessarily know that Frankie and Charlie, I mean, listen, they probably do well in places like London, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. maybe they can go to fucking Tokyo. But in terms of like the global perspective, I don't necessarily know that they're moving the needle in a way that I think that they think yeah. should be.
Well, you also mm-hmm. know, because we know Black people, those type of artists often have managers that will over-negotiate some shit.
Absolutely.
Which is what almost happened with Teddy. So it may also be like Sean saying, there's a pull between Apple's interests, right? What they feel like they need to see because they have input in a way that IG doesn't, because IG doesn't contribute any money towards this, but Apple does. So there's Apple's interests versus trying to get your mans in them to understand, like, probably the reason we haven't seen anything with New Edition, because they all finally made up, is probably because Brooks is like, nah, but you got to give us X amount of dollars.
Because they're
doing drive-through.
Nigga, I want green M&Ms, nigga.
Yeah, because they're doing drive-through pressers. New Edition was touring last year. You know what I'm saying? So they probably like, we want to check, nigga. The fuck? Okay. So that's the other part of it. We know how that's
And I said that to y'all. I said, I don't give a fuck what is happening. It is a hard sell to anybody to tell me that you want me to do a favor for a fucking $1 billion company. There is no way Apple's a trillion dollar company. You're gonna sell me that this is beneficial to me. This is petty cash money for them. You better go in a petty cash drawer and get that $100,000.
Get Alice to sign a little invoice and then send some money over. I wanted to touch on the Nike shit, but you know, we could wait. That's some bullshit.
Can we mention the Dr. Seuss?
No, we should. We should. Really? Okay.
Nike?
We should.
Okay. All right, let's do that. So I was gonna do Andre Leon Talley, but we could save that for another week then.
No. My bad.
I'm not.
There's a lot of good shit.
We can't do everything.
Y'all should mention Nike, because everybody's up in arms, and I didn't know there was any more new shit with the bots that we already didn't know about the bots.
Okay, so what happened is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is come find out that there's a woman named what is her last name? Damn it.
Ann ain't got no job no more.
Ann from Nike.
Ann Herbert. Ann Herbert. That's her name.
Ann Hebert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Ann Hebert from work down to the Nike. Used to work down to the Nike.
Don't work down to the Nike no more.
She used to be able to give me them sneakers for my feet, you know, the white ones. So she has worked for Nike for 25 years in various capacities. Her last job was, hold on, because I have it pulled up because I wanted to make sure my shit was right.
She's a senior VP.
Yes, she's a senior VP.
I believe a digital
overseeing the North American business. So she oversaw the whole North American territory. She left the company Monday, sending out an internal email saying that she's gone. Come find out. Ann's son was a huge sneaker reseller. To the point where they did a piece on him in Bloomberg. Like, he wasn't even hiding the fact that he was his name was Joe Hebert. That hiding the fact he posted on the gram with like tons and tons of sneakers. And Nike's had several issues with their sneakers app, which you know you go
possible
in
to get a pair of shoes on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly, and it's constantly. You know, you, like you say, oh, 10 o'clock, like literally 10 o'clock in 1 second, the shit's just sold out and bots are all over the place and you know, you can't get what you want. So Joe, come find out, Joe was using his mom's corporate card to buy literally thousands of sneakers and resell them. Yeah, like literally. And
like resell. 200K a month.
Yeah, 200K a month and reselling. While Ann is working at the Nike, down to the Nike.
So So now, did she leave because this came out, or it came out after she left?
Yes. Yes.
Think it wasn't gonna come out?
Like, that's the thing. Joe was, like I said, Joe's doing interviews. Joe's on the gram. Like, he wasn't even hiding. He didn't change his name.
I don't think that she knew that he was using her discount and her corporate card to do this business. Like, she wasn't noticing the money because it was, he was selling them so quickly and just for like maybe 100 over ass. So the money was coming right back. He was able to pay off her card without the lag.
Reconcile them statements. She knew when you have.
I was looking at that shit, but
looking at your statements.
I think it's highly. I mean, she could very well have not known.
Well, that's very controversial, and people have been talking about that. I call bullshit as well, Inca. There's no way she didn't know. He's using her Nike corporate card.
When you have a corporate card,
you're not the only person who sees your statement.
That's what I'm saying. And it's $100,000. What is this? Go ahead, bro.
So, really quick. If it was her credit card in terms of like that bill was being paid from an account that he could possibly have accessed, that's one thing. But because that bill now has to go to the accounting department and Nike, like they gotta be able to see. And what it is those are chunk charges.
It's
not like, you know, he probably wasn't doing a bunch of $120, right? Like, it wasn't like there was 15 of those. It would be fucking $15,000.
And yeah, it's Nike corporate card at Nike or on the sneakers.
But yeah, I mean, but.
Well, it says one morning he ran up $132,000 on the card, buying a whole bunch of Yeezys that he resold.
Holy fuck.
I mean, this was a kid on his white man journey, right? Like, this was a kid on his full, I am entitled, I get to kind of fucking do whatever I want to do. The fact that he thought nobody would think about this. And you know what, man? You motherfuckers at Nike, you owe an explanation.
Yeah.
Okay? Because a lot of times, I've gotten the sneaker, paid for the sneaker, was waiting for the shipping information, and these motherfuckers hit me back and was like, yo, we ain't got your sneakers.
They're gone.
We don't know what happened to him.
Was he also getting like early bird access to releases?
Of course he was. Of course he was getting the drop. Of course he was getting the drop.
His mom was in 25 years.
They showed the kid had over, I think it was something like, he had a fucking warehouse. We're not talking about a storage unit. We're talking about a warehouse. With that kind of inventory, you need help. You are not operating.
Yeah, you're doing this by yourself.
If you told me Justin or Jordan was like, you know, reselling 2 or 3 pair of sneakers a month. Okay. Like, I could see that they could possibly do that without me really recognizing. Yeah. Like, if you telling me that this motherfucker got 200 pairs of kicks in my garage and I don't fucking know nothing about it, like, nah, B, what the fuck is going on in here? So she knew, and I believe she let them know in 2018.
Yeah, she let them know what he was doing.
That he was doing this.
And they said okay.
Yeah, and they okayed it, and I'm sure they okayed it based on the fact that this was to be above board. Mm-hmm. You are not supposed to be giving him any ends to this access, and we definitely didn't expect you motherfuckers to be using the corporate card to fund his enterprise. Like, the fact that this kid is not fucking being arrested for fraud right now.
Well, we know why that is.
I'm blown away. That's why I was like, yo, I can't imagine the fact that you would have, imagine the fucking gall to like just go out here and be all the fucking Bloomberg. Like, this wasn't no random podcast that had 800 followers that niggas found, right? Like, this is a kid that was in Bloomberg, bro. And apparently, from what I understand, paid, like, he solicited the article. Like, he was actually out there looking for press. Yeah.
Well, Or that she's in jail now, because honestly, that fiduciary responsibility for your corporate card.
Senior VP, my nigga, senior VP, you got to answer to some people.
This amount of charges? That's
and I'm wondering, and I kind of know the answer because we know what happens when white folks do stuff. But like, does that dead her, you know, whatever pension or stock options or whatever she had?
Absolutely not.
No.
She walked out of there sweet.
Especially if she made restitution, they don't give a fuck. No.
They want this to go away because this is an indictment of everything everyone has said about the issues with Nike and these sneaker apps, right? And it's an issue that I've had, particularly because as a young man, okay, Willie Dell was not getting me the motherfucking J's, okay? You know, my daddy was telling me how many hours it was going to take him to work for me to get a pair of J's, and I wasn't getting that shit.
That release of old black men. I'm not working 14 hours and 30 minutes for that.
My mom was like, they only made them for like five. It'll cost like $5 to make them. I'm not paying them for you to advertise.
All of that.
My mama was dead. You don't take care of nothing.
You're too hard on them shoes.
I ain't buying them shoes.
When I was able to afford to get them, I wanted to get them. And I'm not like, I don't claim to be a sneakerhead. I'm not looking to be.
But you like what you like. You know what I'm saying?
There's certain shoes that I really want to have because it wasn't just that I couldn't get them when I was younger, but they invoke a certain space.
It's a nostalgia.
Yes. And I want them. Okay. So yes, it's crazy for me to have to go and I go out to buy a pair of Bo Jacksons and they're fucking $350, $400 on resale.
I still want them orange and blue bows, and I refuse to pay that money for them.
$400. Yo, I went to go buy a pair of Air Revolutions, and them shits was $475.
Damn.
And like the resale
without
shit
blinking,
dude, you can go on the sneakers app, and you could try to get a pair of sneakers. I promise you, it'll say don't have them within 7 minutes of that sneaker going on sale. They're already reselling on the
Google. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Those and I'm talking about insane markups.
Yeah, insane markups. Yeah. So like you said, like it's an indictment on Nike. Like you said, people have been yelling for years how fucking trash that sneakers app is, and how you like get all these, you know, notifications going on sale in 10 minutes, and you wait, you know, as soon as you put your information in, you go to push the button, it's just bullshit. And then you find out that, you know, not surprisingly, it's been all these, not only bots, but all these insiders at Nike doing the fuckery, you know, and jerking us around and getting wild paper from the resale, including a woman who ran the whole North American territory, son. You know, a fucking millionaire on this bullshit. It's terrible.
And he's also doing it at Adidas.
Yeah, right? Because he was doing it with Yeezys and stuff too. Yeah,
So particularly for someone who's doing that, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? He's going to have access to that. Your fucking mom is a senior VP. Your mom is a senior VP.
And they live right in Portland.
And they live in Portland. Yeah. And he knows he grew up with the people who work in Nike and their kids. Like, you know, he's like, oh, yo, tell your dad, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like us with the music shit. Like, you know people. He knows people. So that was fucked up, man. That was fucked up. And like Sean said, they're definitely doing whatever they can to try to make this shit go away, because it just kind of really pulled the curtain all the way back on the bullshit. So fuck you, Joe Herbert. You bullshit. Fuck Joe. And that's it, man. I think that's it. We're going to wrap up on that. We'll get into a couple of these other stories. We'll stretch them over to next week.
I wanted to mention the Keenan show.
Oh yeah.
Show on NBC is so good.
Really good, right?
It's really, really good. It's one of the better pilots I've ever seen. Like, the chemistry with the cast is great. The story is kind of original. I like it. You have to check it out. We'll talk about it next week. It's on
NBC, right?
NBC is the
Don Johnson's in that shit too, right?
Yeah, he's very funny in it too. So and Chris Redd, who I think is just
that's dope that Keenan
dynamically put him on. Funny. Yeah,
that's dope that Keenan put him on and to be on his
well, show. Lauren Michael is the EP.
Oh, he's the EP of the show. Okay.
Yeah. Like, anytime you see SNL, Lauren Michael ain't far behind, baby.
He Frank White on that shit. I'm eating. It's a nickel bag.
He's also very black too. Like, it's not just, you know.
Yeah.
kind of insulated that SNL cast. Kind of weird comedy they have, but yeah.
How fucking old is Lorne Michaels? This motherfucker has been the executive producer. He's gotta be under about 70.
He gotta be close to 70.
I think he's older than that. He might be sniffing 80.
What the fuck?
He went to school with Jeff.
Yeah, like very 40.
Matter of fact, me and him decided to do this vegan thing together. Man, so I'm gonna call him later. Should see what's popping with him. Yeah, but on that note, we're gonna wrap it up. Everybody out there, be safe. Nye, welcome back.
Thank you.
We are definitely gonna talk. Oh, and just want to
mention 76.
Yeah.
That nigga looks like he's 55.
He's got good lotion.
Money.
He's got good lotion. They import that shit from over the island. I saw the trailer. I cannot wait to the Tina Turner HBO.
I'm excited about that too.
That should look
so cool. Much content coming up. I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, March got a lot of shit. All right, so we're wrapping it up. We'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.